Today, Malati Mataji reminded us that when Srila Prabhupada was just about to leave for America, and the Jaladuta from Calcutta, he specially came to Jaipur to beg for the blessings of Sri Radha Govindaji. What we received from Srila Prabhupada was the blessings of Sri Radha Govindaji. This is how important this deity is to all of us. Srila Prabhupada came all this way just to beg for the mercy of Radha Govindaji, that he would have the power to give us pure love of Krishna. On Sarat Purnima, we had a wonderful festival at Radha Gopinath Temple. The significance of this festival is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Where Nartaki Mataji, you can also sit here. Huh? Whatever makes you happy. On the full moon night of the Sarat season, Lord Gopinath played the fifth note of his flute, Venu, and attracted all of the gopis to come to perform Rasleela. Near the Bamsivat, Vajranab installed the deity of Gopinath. Just about 500 years ago, one very, very great pure-hearted Vaishnav of the name Paramananda Bhattacharya, he was doing his worship under the Bamsivat tree, and there he discovered the original Gopinath deity, who had been hidden from the vision of man for a long time. Paramananda Bhattacharya gave the care of the deity to one of the very intimate disciples of Gadadhar Pandit, whose name is Madhu Pandit. Madhu Pandit worshipped the deity of Gopinath with his body, his mind, and his very soul. When Janava Devi came to Vrindavan during her first visit, she traveled throughout the 12 forests of Braja. She would daily especially go to the deities of Radha Govinda, Radha Gopinath, Radha Damodar, Radha Madan Mohan, and Radha Vinod, and she would cook for them. She would gather the ingredients and prepare bhoga and have it offered. She had a very, very deep, spontaneous love for Krishna and his form of the deity. We know that Janava Devi is the eternal consort of Lord Nityananda. After Lord Nityananda Prabhu left the world, all of the Vaishnavas in Vrindavan, as well as Bengal and Orissa, they naturally accepted Janavadevi as their leader, as the senior most prominent Vaishnav on the earth. Thus, when she came to, when Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivas Acharya performed that first Gaur Purnima festival in Kechari Gram, they invited Janavadevi to be the chief most guest of honor. And she was honored and worshipped by all the devotees in that way. Although such great stalwarts as Shyamananda Goswami, Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, these devotees, some of them had hundreds and thousands of disciples. There was Vrindavan Das Thakur, author of Chaitanya Bhagavat. So many very, very great personalities. Achyutananda, the son of Advaitacharya and a favorite of Lord Chaitanya. Gauridas Pandit. They all worship Janavadevi as their senior most leader. But she was so humble that she personally cooked for the devotees and served with her own hands. And then she served all the servers. And then she served the servers of the servers. And then she ate. After the Kechari festival, she went to Vrindavan. And such great personalities as Jiva Goswami, Lokanath Goswami, Bhugarbha Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, all the surviving Goswamis of Vrindavan, they honored and worshipped Janavadevi. When it was time for her to depart back for Bengal, she was going to all the deities to bid them farewell, offer her final prayers. When she was at the temple of Sri Radha Gopinath, she began to think within her heart that in comparison to Gopinath ji, Srimati Radhika is very small in size. But then she pushed that thought out of her mind because the aarti began, the Shayan aarti. She worshipped Gopinath ji. She returned to her residence that Jiva Goswami arranged for her. And that night in a dream, Lord Gopinath appeared to her. When he first appeared, he was glancing upon her with his lotus eyes and playing on his flute. Then he spoke. He said, "What you were thinking is correct. Srimati Radharani is too small for me. I order you to go back to Gaudadesh and have another deity of Radharani made appropriate to my size." Then Srimati Radharani appeared to him. And she lovingly smiled and said, "What my beloved Gopinath has said is correct. It is my desire that another deity of me is made and put beside him." After saying goodbye to all the devotees, Janavadevi returned. She went through Kechari Gram and Jaji Gram and met so many, many great devotees. And finally, she came to Kardaha. Do you remember during our Mayapur Yatra, we went to Kardaha a couple years ago? That was the base that Lord Nityananda Prabhu made for his preaching when he was in Bengal. It is not far from Panihati, near the Ganges. It was there that Nityananda Prabhu resided with Janavadevi, Vasudha Mata, Birachandra and Ganga, his son and daughter. after Nityananda Prabhu left this mortal world, Janavadevi continued to reside in Kardaha. While there, she called upon one sculptor of the name Nayana and asked him to sculpture a beautiful deity of Srimati Radharani and gave him the exact proportionate sizes. After some time, the deity was complete. So Janavadevi personally, she begged from so many people for cloth and for ornaments and for jewels, not only for Radharani, but for all the Goswami's deities in Vrindavan. She called for some of the most exalted Vaishnavas to personally bring Srimati Radharani to Vrindavan. The leader was Parameshwar Thakur. Parameshwar Thakur was one of the most direct personal associates of Lord Nityananda. Chaitanya Charitamrita explains he was one of the 12 Gopals. Of the 8 Sakas, Krishna's most intimate cowherd boyfriends, one's name is Arjun. And he appeared as Parameshwar Thakur in the Leela of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. She gave these devotees 700 coins, ornaments, jewels, and cloth to bring for the deities of Vrindavan. Then Janavadevi personally arranged for a boat to be hired. And all the devotees, along with Srimati Radharani, they made a wonderful altar for her in the boat. They boarded. And as the boat was leaving on the Ganges near Kardaha, she saw Sri Radharani and the devotees departing for their long journey from the Ganga all the way to Prayag to meet the Jamuna all the way to Vrindavan. Direct trip. She offered a prayer. She prayed with tears of love that, "Dear Gopinath, I pray to you, please allow your Srimati Radharani to safely come to you in Vrindavan without enduring any difficulties in her journey." And Gopinath heard that prayer and answered it. Janavadevi sent a messenger to Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, and all those of the Vaishnavas in that area, that the boat would be stopping at Navadweep, and then again it would stop in Katwa. While in Navadweep, all the associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who had survived, they all met the boat there and had a big, big festival. When the boat came to Katwa, Srinivasacharya, Narottam Das Thakur, King Birambir, Gokulananda, Ramchandra Kaviraj, they were all waiting. Parameshwar Thakur invited Srinivasacharya, who came in and had the darshan of Srimati Radharani, offered her 100 coins and ornaments and jewels and cloth that he had collected. Then Parameshwar Thakur explained the whole story of how this deity came to be to all the devotees. They all came one by one to worship Srimati Radharani. There was such joy, such unity, such love amongst the devotees. When King Birambir, who previously was a king of dacoits, but now he was a very gentle and humble Vaishnava, when he saw the love, affection, and respect amongst the Vaishnavas for him, amongst themselves, his heart was experiencing unbounded ecstatic joy. They worshiped the deity throughout the day. Then there in Katwa, the very place where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas vows, all those devotees, for the pleasure of Srimati Radharani, had kirtan all night long, dancing in ecstasy. Can you imagine kirtan with Narottam Das Thakur leading, Srinivas Acharya dancing, King Bhirambir dancing in ecstasy, Ramchandra Kaviraj inspiring everyone to loudly chant the holy name. The next morning, the boat departed and eventually came to Vrindavan. When it arrived at the bathing ghat on the banks of the Jamuna, there were thousands upon thousands of Brijavasis, and there was Jiva Goswami and the other Goswamis. They were all waiting there to welcome Sri Radharani and her devotees. And thus she was installed on the left side of Lord Gopinath. There was a very, very fantastic celebration. Just days of kirtan and chanting and rituals. Such loving exchanges amongst the devotees were shared. Wonderful, wonderful prasad. And they kept the small deity of Radharani on the right side of Gopinath. Years later, Janava Devi, she was in such deep separation from Radha Gopinath that from Kardaha she decided to take another trip to Vrindavan. And there she saw for the first time Radha Gopinath together. And she brought wonderful gifts for all the deities. And every day she would go to a different one of the deities of the Goswamis and worship them and cook for them and serve them with great love and devotion. And every day, whatever Mahaprasad was there, she would very lovingly serve to the Vaishnavas. When Janava Devi decided it was her time to depart from this world, she entered into the smaller deity. And from that day, the Vaishnavas worshipped that smaller deity as Anangamandri, who is Janava Devi's eternal form in the spiritual world of Goloka. And today when we go to Radha Gopinath temple, we will see Sri Gopinathji, Sri Radharani, who was a gift of Janava Devi, and the smaller deity is Janava Devi herself in her gopi form of Anangamandri. Gopinath is our Prayojana deity. Gopinath bestows the highest limits of pure love of God in the mood of surrender of the gopis of Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declared that there is no higher worship than the worship of the gopis, because their love conquered Krishna to the extent that Krishna told the gopis that in lifetimes of Brahma, I have no power to repay you for your love and surrender to me. Thus, I only beg that you be satisfied with that love and devotion that you have. Krishna tells us in Gita, Bhoktaram Yajyatapasam Sarvalokamaheshwaram. That he is the supreme proprietor of everything that exists. He's the ultimate enjoyer of all sacrifices. But yet he is speechless in the sense that he feels completely inadequate, incompetent, and practically in poverty compared to the great wealth that the gopis have given to him in the form of their love. I cannot repay. It is impossible. Please be satisfied with that love itself. It is that love that Gopinath bestows upon his devotee. If he is worshipped with sincere devotion. Here in Jaipur is also the deity of Sri Sri Radha Damodar. We described earlier how Rup and Sanatan Goswami, along with Anupam, met with Lord Chaitanya at Ramakeli, and how Jiva Goswami, as just a very small child, was a little distance away watching Lord Chaitanya placing his feet on the heads of his uncles and father, how he embraced them, and how they were speaking with such utter humility and tears in their eyes. He was transformed by that experience. In fact, if you go to Ramakeli today, you will find that there is Jiva Goswami actually came back and he installed a deity of Lord Chaitanya just at the place where he was standing and saw Mahaprabhu with his father and uncles. Soon after this, although he was a small child, Rup, Sanatan, and Anupam left home to join Lord Chaitanya. He was with his mother. His father, Anupam, left his body to return to the spiritual world while traveling with Rupa Goswami en route to Puri to visit Lord Chaitanya. Meanwhile, after some time, Rupa and Sanatan were living in Vrindavan as the crest jewel of all renunciates. Little Jiva, he had no desire in his heart except to join his uncles in Vrindavan. After the news came that his father left this world, Jiva, small child, became completely detached from everything of this world. He had no interest in anything except devotional service. He had little deities of Krishna and Balaram. They were his constant companions. He cared nothing about playing the games all the other boys in the neighborhood were playing. He only wanted to serve those deities. He would make dresses for them. He would pick flowers and make garlands for them. He would get fruits and roots and other types of bhoga and offer them. He would sing for them. He would dance for them. In fact, throughout the day, he just served Krishna and Balaram, and at night, he went to sleep embracing both of them to his heart. 24 hours a day he was never separated from those deities. One night in a dream, the deities of Krishna Balaram manifested into the original forms of Krishna Balaram right before his own eyes. And then Krishna transformed into Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Balaram into Nityananda Prabhu. Standing before him, mercifully glancing upon him. Thus, he had not only realization, but direct experience of what Narottam Das Thakur prays. Purajendra Nandana Jay Sachishuta Hoilo She Balarama Hoilo Nithai. The son of the king of Braja has appeared as Lord Gauranga, and Balaramji has appeared as Nithai. He so deeply studied the scriptures. And the people of the town, they were struck with wonder to see him. How is a small child like this? He knows the scriptures profusely. He's completely renounced from all the enjoyments of this world. All he knows is Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And he was so beautiful, so effulgent, so humble, so respectful to all living beings. He was the embodiment of all good qualities. Anybody who even saw Jiva, their hearts would utterly melt. People would become devotees just seeing his humble devotional qualities. When he grew into a young man, he went to Navadvip. There he met with Lord Nityananda Prabhu at the house of Srivas. And he surrendered to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Lord Nityananda Prabhu agreed to take him all around the whole Gaurmandala Bhumi, Navadvip Dham. This historical Navadvip Dham Parikrama is described both in Bhakti Ratnakar and in the Navadvip Dham Mahatmyam by Srila Thakur Bhakti Vinod. During this wonderful tour where Nityananda Prabhu was taking Jiva Goswami not only to the places of Lord Chaitanya's Leela and explaining what happened, but he was introducing him to all the surviving associates of Lord Chaitanya that were in Navadvip. And sometimes their ecstasies were so great that all the associates of Lord Chaitanya with Lord Chaitanya himself would appear in kirtan and start dancing ecstatically right before the eyes of Jiva Goswami. After the parikrama, Lord Nityananda Prabhu told Srila Jiva Goswami that Lord Chaitanya has given Vrindavan to your family. You should go there and meet with Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami and remain with them. But on the way, you stop in Varanasi and study under Madhusudan Vachaspati and learn the scriptures very, very deeply from him. So Jiva Goswami went to Varanasi after taking the blessings of Lord Nityananda and the devotees. And there he studied under the greatest scholar. And he became very quickly the greatest student and the most profound knower of the Vedas in all of Banaras. While there, his recitations of the scriptures, his power and debate, his assimilation of the slokas was of, to such an extent that he became famous all over India. Then he left for Vrindavan, where he met with his uncles. With folded palms and tears of humility in his eyes, he begged Srila Sanatana Goswami to initiate him, accepting him as a disciple. Srila Sanatana Goswami, out of his humility, offered him under the care of Sri Rupa Goswami. Knowing it to be Sanatana Goswami's desire, Rupa Goswami told him he would initiate him, but first he has to prepare himself through 1 year of humble service. Jiva Goswami was given services of going out and taking the leaves of trees and making them into the paper in which Rupa Goswami would write his books. He would clean the utensils of Rupa Goswami. He would arrange the puja paraphernalia for Rupa Goswami. He would do cleaning around the house of Rupa Goswami. He would wash his guru's clothes. He would massage his feet, massage his legs, every type of menial service. And yet, he was the greatest scholar, pure renunciate, but still, he had absolutely not the slightest trace of false ego within his heart. He was also trained by Rupa Goswami in the chanting of the holy names and in the Vaishnav scriptures. After 1 year, Sri Rupa Goswami, very much satisfied by Jiva Goswami's actual Vaishnav qualities, living by the principle of Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sahishnana Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari, he considered that he is worthy for initiation. And Rupa Goswami gave him the mantra. Jiva Goswami very much longed to worship the personal form of the Lord. And Sri Rupa Goswami understood his heart. Thus, out of love for his disciple and his nephew, Srila Rupa Goswami personally, with his own loving hands, carved the deity of Damodar. Then Rupa Goswami personally installed that deity with the prana pratishta and personally worshipped him. After some time, he entrusted the deity of Radha Damodar to Srila Jiva Goswami. He became the very life and soul of Jiva Goswami. With his body, with his mind, with his very life, he worshipped. Every day, Srila Jiva Goswami saw Radha Damodar's lila. Radha Damodar would personally speak to Jiva Goswami every day. Jiva Goswami would make bhoga preparations for Radha Damodar. And when he would offer it, by Radha Damodar's mercy, he would personally see Radha Damodar eat the bhoga. One day, Damodar was playing on his flute, very, very beautiful spiritual sound vibrations that completely conquer and charm the hearts of anyone who hears. He was playing that flute and smiling blissfully. Then he called Jiva Goswami, "Come, come, see what I'm doing." Jiva Goswami came and he witnessed the Lord with a beautiful smile upon his face, playing his flute, glancing upon his devotee. Jiva Goswami lost consciousness in ecstasy. When he finally came back to consciousness, Damodar was still playing the flute. All Jiva Goswami could do was weep incessantly in love. In this way, Jiva Goswami spent his life worshipping Sri Sri Radha Damodar. Dhamma means rope Udara means the waste. He is known as Radha Damodar because he was bound by the waste. The six Goswamis explain, not only was he bound by the waste of Yashoda Mai in the month of Kartik, after he stole the butter, but in the Leela of the forests of Vrindavan, sometimes Srimati Radharani would bind him on the waist with a rope made out of, it was actually a garland made out of flowers. Shri Shri Radha Damodar. Shri Rupa Goswami, his bhajan kutir was at that place. Later on, his samadhi was at that place. Shri Radha Damodar was more dear than the very life of all the Goswamis of Vrindavan. As they came together to take Damodar's prasad, to dance for him, and to sing the holy names for his pleasure. In the same temple of Radha Damodar is Sri Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra, the deities of Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. Kaviraj Goswami, while living in a village in Bengal, was hosting Miniketana Ramdas, a very personal, loving associate of Lord Nityananda. His brother, who was performing puja, did not properly respect this devotee. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami chastised his brother. His brother said, "I have complete faith in Lord Chaitanya, but I do not have faith in Lord Nityananda. And how you treat the servant is how you treat the master." You see, Kaviraj Goswami understood, if you're not properly respecting Miniketana Ramdas, that means you're not properly respecting Nityananda Prabhu. This is our culture. If you want to respect the master, you have to respect their servant. If you disrespect the servant, you're disrespecting the master. Disrespect to Srila Prabhupada's servants is disrespect to Srila Prabhupada. And that goes down through the whole disciplic succession. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami said, "This idea that you think you can accept Lord Chaitanya without Lord Nityananda is the philosophy of half of a hen. A foolish person thinks the front half of the head is the front head part of the hen is eating all sorts of grains which cost me so much money. But the back part is giving eggs by which I can sell and make money. So I will cut off the front part and just stay with keep the back." But you do that, you kill the whole thing. If you want to accept the master, you must accept the servant. Nityananda Prabhu is the original servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nityananda Prabhu was so pleased by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's loyal faith to defend him that night he appeared in the form of a cowherd boy and told Krishnadas, "Immediately go to Vrindavan and all your desires will be fulfilled." He was an old man. As soon as he got up in the morning, he didn't even think about talking to his relatives. How will I get to Vrindavan? Where will I stay in Vrindavan? First thing, he just got up and walked out of the door into the forest on his way to Vrindavan. That trust in the will of the Lord. when he came to Vrindavan, he was given a bhajan kutir on the bank of Shamkund. He became very, very dear to the Goswamis. And every day for 3 hours, he would hear Raghunath Das Goswami speak of the pastimes and teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And with the mercy and blessings of the Vaishnavas, he compiled Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. At times, he also lived in Vrindavan. And not far from the Radha Damodar temple was the temple of Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra. After Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami left, those deities were worshipped there in Vrindavan for some time. They were the very life and soul of Kaviraj Goswami. And were later brought here to Jaipur with the other Murtis. Vrindavan Chandra is the moon of Vrindavan. That supreme personality who illuminates the hearts of all of the devotees of Vrindavan. Lokanath Goswami was the son of Padmanab Chakravarti, and his mother's name was Sita. From his birth, he had no desire except the service of Radha and Krishna. When he was very young in age, he left home and went to Navadvip to associate with Lord Chaitanya and his devotees. He was such a very, very dear associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He loved Lord Chaitanya as his very life and soul. One day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took him to a secluded place and told him, "In a few days, I am going to accept the renounced order of life. And I do not think you will be able to maintain your life if you see my hair cut from my head. I think it is better if you go to Vrindavan. After I take sannyas, I will be leaving and going to live in Vrindavan. So you go there now and you prepare for my arrival." Hearing these words that Lord Gauranga was going to cut his beautiful flowing hair and accept the life of a mendicant, Lokanath Goswami fell unconscious and could only weep. He begged the Lord, "How can I be separate from you? This is impossible." The Lord said, "I will never be apart from you. I will soon be meeting you." So Lokanath Goswami fell at the feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, bathing with his tears, in utter surrender, begging his permission to leave. Then he went to each and every one of the associates of Lord Chaitanya in Navadvip Dham and fell at their lotus feet and begged for their permission to go to Vrindavan. On his way, he visited many holy places and finally came to Vrindavan. There he was simply waiting for Lord Gauranga. We know the story. Mahaprabhu went to Katva. He accepted renounced order. And then, as per his promise, he was on his way to Vrindavan. But Nityananda Prabhu had other ideas. And the devotees begged him, "Please do not go to Vrindavan. Live in Puri." So he accepted. Soon after arriving in Puri, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to look for his brother Vishwarup in the southern provinces of India. Actually, that was his excuse to deliver millions of people to Prema Bhakti through Nam Sankirtan. Everywhere Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled in South India, his process of preaching was the same. Wherever he would go, he would just dance in ecstasy and induce everyone he met to chant the holy name. And those persons who were so fortunate to accept his mercy, he would lovingly embrace them and give them love of God. When Lokanath Goswami heard the news that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not coming to Vrindavan, he's making his home in Puri, and now he's traveling through South India, he wasn't happy without the Lord. So he left Vrindavan and began walking the long journey to South India. When he reached the southernmost parts of South India, searching for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he found out the news that Lord Chaitanya already spent 2 years through touring the southern and western countries, and he has returned to Puri. So as quickly as he could go, he began walking to Puri. When he came to the outskirts of Puri, he heard the news. Lord Chaitanya went to Vrindavan. I'm supposed to be there. I'm supposed to be making all arrangements for him. So as quickly as he could go, he traveled to Vrindavan. I'm supposed to be there. I'm supposed to be making all arrangements for him. So as quickly as he could go, he traveled to Vrindavan. There were no airlines or railways or buses. There was only walking. How he walked. When he came into the precinct of Brajbhumi, he inquired immediately, where is Gauranga Mahaprabhu? He was here for 2 months. He left for Prayag. Lokanath Goswami fell unconscious. He decided, the very next morning, I'm going to Prayag. That night, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to him in his heart and told him, you should stay in Vrindavan. Very soon I will be sending Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, and you should live with them and assist them. So although his heart and soul wanted to run to Lord Chaitanya, as a real Vaishnava, he understood the order of the Guru, the order of Krishna, is our life and soul. Don't try to see Krishna, but try to serve Krishna in such a way that he's pleased to see you. Lokanath Goswami could have gone to Puri and lived for the next 18 years with Lord Chaitanya. But he remained in Vrindavan because that was the Lord's order. While in Vrindavan, he toured the 12 forests and came to one of the forests called Chatravan. There are 12 principal forests, but there are also 108 other forests in Vrindavan. Chatravan is one of them. In Chatravan, there is a village called Umrao. And near Umrao is a very, very holy body of water called Kishori Kund. Lokanath Goswami would sleep in the bushes under the trees near Kishori Kund. There he would be constantly meditating on the Leela of the Lord, constantly chanting the holy names of the Lord, immersed in pure unalloyed worship. In his heart, he had a great desire to worship the personal form of the Lord as a deity. The Lord understands the heart of his devotee. One day, a Brahmin who had never been seen by anyone on the face of the earth, this Brahmin just appeared and walked right up to Lokanath Goswami and handed him a deity. Then the Brahmin walked away, and within a moment he disappeared. Lokanath Goswami was stunned. He was bewildered. He was looking at this deity and thinking, who is that Brahmin and who is this and where did he come from and where did he go? As he was utterly confused, the deity that was right in his hand smiled at him and began to speak. He said, my name is Radha Vinod. For a long time I've been living in these forests, and I knew the desire of your heart to worship me. Therefore, I personally came to give you myself without accepting the help of anyone else. In other words, the Lord incarnated as that Brahmin to give himself to Lokanath Goswami. Lokanath Goswami was really bewildered when he heard this. He was besides himself. The Lord, seeing his state, told him, I'm hungry. Give me bhoga. So immediately, he put aside all his bewilderment for the service of the Lord. And he went and collected ingredients. And then he cooked. And then he offered viboga. Then he offered an arti. After the Lord took his prasad, and Lokanath Goswami could actually see Radha Vinod eating his prasad, then Lokanath Goswami made a bed out of flowers and placed the deity in the bed to take rest. Lokanath Goswami personally massaged the deity's lotus feet and his legs. Then he made a nice fan out of leaves and feathers and fanned the Lord as he slept. In this way, Lokanath Goswami spent many, many years at Kishori Kund, absorbed in the personal service of Sri Sri Radha Vinod. The local villagers, they were so much impressed by the devotion of Lokanath Goswami. They told him they wanted to build a temple for him. But Lokanath Goswami said, no, no, there's no need for any temples. Do you know what type of temple Lokanath Goswami built for Radha Vinod? With his own hands, he begged for some cloth, and he personally sewed a bag to keep the deity in. And he kept that bag around his neck. That was Radha Vinod Mandir. That little bag that hung from the neck of Lokanath Goswami. Lokanath Goswami and Bhugarbha Goswami were very, very intimate, loving friends. They came to Vrindavan some years before even Rupa and Sanatan Goswami came. Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, their main base was in what is now Vrindavan, section of Vrindavan. They called for Lokanath Goswami, inviting him to live amongst them. So he left Kishori Kund and came to Vrindavan on the banks of the Jamuna. And there he established the temple of Sri Radha Vinod, which is today called the temple of Radha Gokulananda. After Rupan Sanatan Goswami's left this world, Lokanath Goswami was plunged deeply in an ocean of separation. It was impossible for him to maintain his life. However, the Lord revealed to him that the devotee Narottam Das would be coming, and it was his desire to continue living to become the spiritual master of Lokanath, of Narottam Das Thakur. When Narottam Das Thakur came to Vrindavan, he accepted Lokanath Goswami as his guru. Lokanath Goswami had never initiated anyone. He considered himself utterly disqualified. And plus, 24 hours a day, he didn't even hardly eat or sleep. He just cried in separation from the Lord and his devotees. Lord Chaitanya left, Lord Nityananda left, Swarup Damodar left, Rupan Sanatan left. The love that the devotees had for amongst themselves was the same very love that they had for Krishna himself. But Narottam Das Thakur, for over 1 year, rendered the most humble, sincere services to Lokanath Goswami. Even to the extent of cleaning his urine and stool secretly on the riverbank where he would go to respond to nature's calls. When Lokanath Goswami witnessed the humility of this great, great personality, he accepted him as a disciple. The day of that initiation, which is such an intimate part of the history of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, Lokanath Goswami did not actually accept him as his disciple. He performed the formalities and accepted the responsibilities. However, a real Vaishnava understands nothing is mine. He may be my disciple in one sense, but actually nothing is mine. Everything belongs to Krishna. I'm just the caretaker. I'm just the servant of the servant of the servant. So on the day of the initiation, Narottam Das Thakur was given the mantra of initiation by Lokanath Goswami. And Lokanath Goswami brought Narottam Das Thakur before the deity of Radha Vinod and offered Narottam Das Thakur to him. Sri Radha Vinod, this Narottam Das is your property. I am his servant. That was the initiation. When we go before Radha Vinod, let us also pray in this way, that Sri Radha Vinod, I am your property. My body is your property to be used in your service according to your desire. My words are your property. only to speak that which pleases you. My mind is your property, always fixed at your lotus feet. My very life and soul is your property, eternally. If we offer this prayer sincerely, Krishna will certainly accept our very life and soul as his own property. That is the ultimate perfection of our life. Thank you very much. Malati Mataji very much surrendered her life as the property of Srila Prabhupada. Because we surrender to Krishna through surrendering to Guru and Vaishnavas. We are very, very fortunate because she was personally here when Srila Prabhupada came to Jaipur to perform his pastimes. And at this time we are requesting Malati Mataji to narrate the pastimes of Srila Prabhupada in Jaipur. After which, because this is our last class during this yatra, we will be asking His Holiness Chandrasekhar Maharaj and His Grace Janani Vas Prabhu and Her Grace Nartaki Mataji to speak their enlightening words, their realizations, and to also give blessings to all of us. Thank you very much.